Do you believe in the power of gratitude? Do you know how gratitude can impact your well-being? Do you have a vision of who you want to be, where you want to go, what your greater purpose is? And what about what happens when things get tough? And finally, how do you see yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Would you like to? These are a few of the topics we talk about in this podcast. And if you're ready to learn more about yourself, your purpose, and tools on how to fulfill that purpose, then welcome to You Already Are. Welcome to another episode of You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host, Michael Gardner. Thank you for joining us. We are going to dive right into our topic today. What's our topic today, Michael?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Oh, I love this topic.
Me too. Gratitude is the key to abundance.
It is. It really is. That was the one thing that I learned first right off the bat was gratitude. When I was going through this life coaching mindset process, was the first thing I was asked to practice was gratitude, and it changed my whole perspective, my whole world on life. And there's a beautiful article by Wallace D. Wattles that I was given that talks about how gratitude is what connects us to God, to the infinite, right? Do you want to expand on that a little bit, Michael?
Sure. In that statement, we realize if everything is created by God, if you believe that, I do, then we connect to everything. And so gratitude isn't a conditional, finite concept. It's infinite. So gratitude for everything. And in my experience, this has been a challenge for people to grasp, because they want to be grateful for this that they deem a good experience or a good thing, but not that, because that was a bad thing. Gratitude is unconditional. It is infinite. It's grateful for all. It may not be, I don't mean like if you lost a child or your spouse dies, you're grateful they died, but gratitude for the experience, gratitude for the lesson, gratitude for the things that you are realizing about yourself as a result of those experiences.
Kind of just like gratitude for life. And I know before I went on this journey and changed my mindset, people would always just be like, oh, you need to be grateful. You should just be grateful for what you have and all that stuff. And it never really rang true for me. I always thought that was just like, yeah, attitude of gratitude. Yeah, sounds great. Cool. But I never really felt like I was being ungrateful, right? I was just like, yeah, I'm grateful for, you know, the earth and what I've been given, but I didn't ever feel it. And that was the big difference. And so I started writing down the things that I was grateful for, and they were just simple little things. Every day it was just like I spent 5 or 10 minutes just writing something I was grateful for. Whether it was like, you know, there were some days where I was like, man, I'm grateful I have shoes on my feet. Like, I'm grateful that I have socks. I'm grateful that I have hair, because some people don't have hair. I'm grateful that I can breathe. Like little things like that that don't seem like we don't think about those things, or they just seem trivial to us. It started changing my perspective on life. And I started realizing more and more the things that I could be grateful for. And I think that's kind of like the stepping stone of like, yes, you want to be grateful. And when you are grateful, you're grateful for everything. You're grateful for every experience. You're grateful for the bad, the good, the ugly, all of it. But when you're just starting out, you need to realize what you have and be grateful for that in baby steps, I think. At least for me, it was super helpful for me to just do those small things that I really felt grateful for when I wasn't feeling grateful before. And as I did that, I was able to work up to being grateful for the bigger things. And eventually, and it's something that I still have to be intentional about, being grateful for the challenges that I face, the things that are hard for me, because I need to realize that's growth. When something's hard for me, that means I'm growing, and I'm gonna become a better or different person, or become whoever it is that, you know, the universe or God's building me to become. Of course, we're always becoming something, right? And I love that that's something Michael truly believes, is we're always becoming. It's not you just become someone or you change. It's a continual process. But the baby steps of the gratitude is what really started changing my perspective on, holy cow, look at all the things I've been blessed with. And look, this is hard for me, but gosh, I know it's going to be so good for me. Does that make sense?
You know, that's where people struggle, because the idea of being grateful for everything doesn't make sense. Yet, to me, it's a true principle. So whether it makes sense or not, but as you speak, I feel what you're saying, and there's a genuineness to it. There's a really humility to it, which means open. And yeah, that is the key. You know, I'll share you experiences I've had. I have three children. All of them are adopted. The first two came from, they were in our home as foster children, and they were both abused to some degree. So one of my children, I hope he's not watching, one of my children had some problems in life, and really challenging problems, sometimes issues with the law, behavior problems, getting called into school because of this, because of that. And there was a time I was like, oh, I just can't wait for this to be over till he grows up and can, you know, be on his own. I don't have to deal with it. And then I would also think, why me? You know, what is it about? Why did I get this? What did I do? I'm a good guy. I do everything I think I'm supposed to do, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then somewhere something happened where I realized this is not a punishment. This is actually more of a, well, why me? Why did you trust me with this child, God? What is it about me that I am powerful enough to work through this, not overcome it, but work through it and to deal with it? And my whole perspective started to change to see there are lessons in here for him and for me, that if I resist by saying, why me? Why me? Why'd you do this? I can't wait for this to be over. I will miss out on. But if I embrace it with a energy and a spirit of gratitude, then the whole thing changes and he looks different to me. Not that he acted different. We had some challenges for many, many, many years. But I realized my ability to deal with this is greater than if I'm resisting the whole thing, saying, why me? Why am I being punished? Did I do something wrong? And I embraced it with gratitude. And it wasn't easy. It was simple, but it wasn't easy to get through it. But now he's a productive young man, but we both got through it. So, you know, from the other perspective of gratitude, even for the things that we don't necessarily like, is also part of that. So when we, but you know, I wanted to go back to two, when you started writing down gratitude, in the act of writing, you really do start to connect with the energy of gratitude. And even whatever you write down, whatever you think about, isn't really the relative part. I mean, it's useful, but it's the gratitude itself. And we start to connect, and then we connect with everything.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. I love that we've touched on this briefly, that, you know, when we are grateful, we're connected to that being, that infinite, the universe, God, whoever it is that you believe, or whatever it is that you believe, we're connected to that. And we're able to kind of see things in a different light of, these things are happening for me rather than to me, right? Like, rather than resisting it, what is it that you want me to learn? What is it that I'm supposed to be learning from this or growing from this? Because I know that this is something that is going to build me, right? And honestly, it's hard to see it when you're in the thick of it. It's hard to see, like, oh gosh, really? Why? Like, why should I be grateful for this? But on the other side of it, it's very easy to look back and be like, wow, I am glad I went through that, because I am who I am today because I went through that. I wanted to read something from the article that I mentioned before. Again, it's Gratitude by Wallace D. Wattles. It was given to me by my mindset mentor, and his company is MindTune, if you guys want to check him out. It says, the moment you permit your mind to dwell with dissatisfaction upon things as they are, you begin to lose ground. You fix attention upon the common, the ordinary, the poor, and the squalid and mean, and your mind takes the form of these things. And then you will transmit these forms or mental images to God, and the common, the poor, the squalid, and the mean will come to you. So if all you're thinking about is how awful these things are, how awful your life is, how terrible all these, you know, everybody does everything and the world is against you, the more you're going to see that, the more you're going to get of that. And we touched on this in a previous episode, but the more you think negatively about what's happening and the more you victimize yourself, I know that's a touchy word, but you know, victimize yourself that, oh, this is happening to me and I have no control over it, the more you're going to get things that are negative. And as you embrace, like Michael was saying, as you embrace what's happening to you and embrace the good things that are happening to you, I think you will see more good and you will feel more good. And I like gratitude as a law of being grateful for everything. It's harder to apply than it is to say it, than it is to talk about it. But even when you're in the thick of it and you can't say that you're grateful for this right now, like if we've mentioned this before, but if there's a death in the family, it's really hard to be grateful for that. It's really hard to be grateful that you took somebody away, right? But when you're in the thick of it, even if you can't see the gratitude of what's happening inside of you while you're going through that hard time, you can see the things that you still have, the things that you're still blessed with. Like, oh, you're still blessed with friends and family. You're still blessed with sunshine every day. You're still blessed with clothing, a roof over your head, like finding those little things that you can be grateful for through that challenge when you really don't feel grateful. Because I know that it's hard to feel grateful when you're in the thick of it, when you're just lost in the darkness. It's important to get to that point, but it's also important to find things that you are grateful for so that you're working towards the point where you can be grateful for your challenges. But if you can't be grateful for your challenges, be grateful for what you have, because it will get you to the point where you can be grateful for your challenges.
Yeah. And with that, you know, both of my parents have passed away, and it was difficult with my mom because I was younger and she was 64. You know, and I went through a period of challenge, struggle, but also when I worked through that and you know, people would say, should be happy, she's in a better place. It's like, well, I should be, but I'm not. So I said, thank you. But I didn't want to tell them what I really felt was, no, I'm kind of pissed. Why did this happen? But then getting to work through that, realize something that I've always said, but now it's becoming real. It's not just something we say, is that it was a bargain that we agreed to. We agreed to this life. I believe we agreed to this life, and that we agreed to all the challenges, the ups and downs, even death. We agreed to all that. We knew that was part of it, the bargain. And you know, you can see death as an end, or you can see it as a transition to the next life. But the gratitude was basically, I'm grateful for life and even the things that happen in life that we don't really like, but we can love them for the lessons that they bring forth. And, you know, the gratitude too for both my parents was I got to be their son, and they were wonderful parents. I love them.
And that's finding the gratitude in those dark moments. There have been some challenging times, and there have been times when I'm like, I'm not grateful for this. Why would I be grateful for this? But it's the, well, I'm grateful for this human experience, or I'm grateful that, like you said, like that you were privileged to be their son, that you were able to experience their life with them. And that's that gratitude that when you can't say, I'm grateful for the fact that my mom or dad passed away, it's okay to not feel grateful for that, but you are grateful that you were with them. And I think eventually you can work up to being grateful that you had to go through that challenge of your parents passing away, right?
Yeah. And grateful that they got to move on. You know, yeah. It wasn't a punishment. You know, I'm at an age now where I realize that's really going to happen. You know, when I was your age, I was like, ah, that's so far off. You probably think of the next 10 years and pretty good chance you'll be here. I don't know. So looking at a little more microscopically, realizing it's all of us, but it's just a phase of what we agreed to. And, you know, even to go through life and have the blessing of that person in our life for the time we had, you're not punished because of that. It's a blessing. If you look at it, what's the blessing?
Right. And that's a really sensitive one. I have a lot of friends who have had miscarriages and or family members taken from them. And it's really hard. And I really understand, my heart goes out to them for their, I mean, they go through that anger with God. They get through that anger with the world. Is how can, I had one friend, and I hope that she's okay with me sharing this, but you know, she had a grandfather pass away who was like a father to her. And she just, the next day was like, how can the world go on? How can the world go on after this tragedy happened, after somebody so special to me was taken from me? And it's a hard question to answer. And it's one that I think is a very personal question. And another question I get from a lot of people who have shared their losses with me is just why? Why did they have to be taken from me? Why couldn't I have had them in this life, right? And I'm with Michael. I agree that there is a transition and there is an afterlife, and it brings a little bit more peace and hope for when others pass. But I think the big question is, when you're angry, when you're wondering why, you just got to ask God or whoever it is that you believe in. Because I believe that God did not, he doesn't give us trials. He doesn't like, I'm going to make this person suffer. That's not his job. Okay. He wants to bless you. The universe wants to bless you and give you everything that is good, but we are human. And we are having a human experience, and we have to go through these things. He doesn't give them to us. He's not like, yeah, I'm giving you the hardest life in the world. That's not what he does. He's there to comfort us. He's there to love us, but he allows us to go through these things because we need to become something more. And so he's there. He's saying, I'm going to let you go through this, and I'm going to be with you. But he's not there to like, I'm going to mess your life up. That's not what he's about. And regarding, you know, losing a child or a miscarriage, I don't know the answer to that. And I cannot even begin to express that I fully understand, because I haven't experienced it myself. And that pain is just, I can't imagine, because I have four children, and if one of them was missing, I don't know how I would feel. I would probably be maybe not on this podcast. But I think there's an answer for people who are searching for it. And I think that there is a reason for everything that we go through. And when we can get to the point where we calm our hearts and we calm our minds and we can listen, we'll find that answer and we'll find that comfort that we're looking for from the universe, from God. I sincerely believe that we are here for a reason, and we go through the things that we go through to become those people that God wants us to become, those people the universe is preparing us to become.
Yeah, it's all for our discovering who we are, how powerful we are. To me, it's already there. We already are. We just don't know it. We haven't experienced it. So you go through these things. We say, why me? Why me? If the premise of this whole podcast is peace, we're never going to find it, Eric, because we're blaming somebody. We're blaming God or blaming life or whatever. Finding peace is coming to want to be one with the experiences. Whether we like them or not isn't always the case, but if we don't like them, looking at what are we resisting learning? We can't change what happened. We can learn from it. And if we embrace it with gratitude. Now, I want to qualify that. Sometimes, you know, somebody would say, okay, here's what I'm learning. Don't have more children. That may be the lesson, but maybe not. Maybe that's not the lesson at all, or the lessons. It does, you know, it's like if somebody goes out and makes an investment and it just falls apart, your husband may go to them and say, hey, I got this great deal. No, I did that before and I learned a lesson. Don't ever invest my money. Maybe that's not the lesson. Maybe there's something else. But learning the lesson, embracing the lesson, no matter how challenging, that's where we truly discover the power we have to deal with life and the situations that we encounter. And doing it with gratitude. Again, it's not, I'm grateful my child died. I'm grateful for the lesson that came with that. I'm grateful I got to have that period of time with that child. I'm not saying that that's easy. It's simple. But it's because you've got emotion in there. And you've got this relationships in there and all that kind of stuff. But still, unless we do, we're going to go through life bitter. We're going to go through life not really going for the things we truly desire, because we're going to want to play it safe. And our light goes out. It doesn't go out. We just cover it up.
Yeah. You are talking about how, you know, we already are these things. This is the premise of our podcast. Our name is You Already Are. And when we go through these challenges and you're doing these changes and becoming this other person, if you will, our whole idea, our whole philosophy behind our name is that you already are anything. You're infinite. You already are whatever it is you think that you aren't, whatever it is you think that you're becoming. You're already that. You're just peeling back the layers to uncover who you already are, who you already are. And that's what this whole journey is about. And so as we're talking about gratitude, gratitude peels back some of those layers, and it peels back some of that so that you can shine and you can see who you are on the inside, instead of allowing all of these circumstances, all of these terrible things that pound your mind and create so much noise, and you can see the light. You can say, wow, I'm grateful I can see. I'm grateful I can read. I'm grateful I have hands. Like, you genuinely feel grateful for things in your life when things don't seem very good for you. And when you can see the good in the dark, that's when you get power, and that's when you can really make some big changes. And that's what happened to me. That's why this principle of gratitude is so important to me. It is something that I do on a daily basis, where I intentionally write out things that I'm grateful for 5 to 10 minutes every single morning, because it changes my attitude. It changes how I look at what's happening to me, look at my life. And I realize, wow, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. We are all so blessed. We are breathing. We're alive. Wow. The actual experience of living is amazing. And what else could be more of a blessing than breath, right? The gift of breath. And so, I don't know. For those who are listening, I would really challenge you to, especially if you're struggling, especially if you just think, oh, that wouldn't work for me. Yeah, I have a really terrible life, and you don't know what's happened to me, and you don't know what I've been through. And you're right, we don't. But I challenge our listeners to just try, just one day, one thing a day, even if it's just that, just find one thing that you can be grateful today. Start there and work your way up to finding more, seeing more of the blessings you have in your life. And I know it sounds like it's just easy to say these things, but just try it. Try it for a week and see if it makes a difference. And I truly believe that it will change your perspective.
Yeah, you do get to feed it, because we're constantly being fed something else in this world that we live in. A lot of things, death, war, you know, you look at politics and they're always fighting, name calling. So it's important to feed that part of you that aligns with gratitude, such that no matter what's going on in the world, you'd be grateful. You look at the world. See, we don't change things by being bitter and angry. We typically make them worse. Why is there war? Because people are bitter and angry, which is a subset of fear. Why are politicians, but we look at them always, you know, this guy is bad, this guy is good. Why? It's fear. It's fear. Gratitude and fear do not align. It doesn't mean that you just put on rose-colored glasses and say, oh, well, no, you deal with it. But if you deal with these things from a space of gratitude, if you deal with debt, if you deal with getting laid off, if you deal with you and your spouse aren't getting along, or your children are not behaving the way you would like, deal with it from gratitude. It doesn't mean you just close your eyes to it. It means you deal with it, but from a place of, instead of anger and bitterness. If you want to discipline your children, if you do it from anger and bitterness, you're probably not disciplining your children. That's probably something else. But if you do it from a place of gratitude, because I want them to learn something, that's going to be a different method of discipline.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Just coming from a place of calmness and kindness and gratitude when you're parenting is very different from coming from a place of frustration and anger. Don't get me wrong. It's hard, because it's hard to choose to come from a grateful perspective, especially when your children aren't listening to you and they're throwing big fat fits when they're 8 years old and in the middle of the store and you just want to tear your hair out. But if you come from a place that you can see what a blessing they are, and you, like Michael said, you want to help them and teach them rather than punish them. Because I think that's the big distinction, is disciplining is different from punishment. Punishment comes from a place of anger and frustration, and you want to either hurt them or force them to do something or make them suffer. That's a punishment. Discipline is teaching a lesson. It's a consequence. It's something that comes from your love for them, not your anger for them, right? And I love that you pointed that out, because I think a lot of our listeners probably do have to handle how to raise children. And as a mom of four myself, maybe not most of my parenting, but that was a lesson I had to learn. Because when my babies, my oldest was a toddler and my second oldest was a baby, I basically had two babies. They were less than 18 months apart, and my toddler was just queen of screaming, and she just screamed her head off all the time. And I just remember getting so angry and screaming and just like feeling so much in the thick of it and not realizing what a gift my children were. And it's really sad to me, and I'm probably going to get a lot of crap from, you know, people about it, but I was not a very happy mother, and I led from anger a lot of times. So my discipline was a punishment. I wanted to make them suffer, not like, you know, terribly. I loved my children, but I wanted to make it a point that they lost something rather than it being a consequence and a discipline, and learn something instead of lost something. But I think I love the fact that you're like, I think great gratitude really changes that perspective. And I will say, when I wake up in the morning and I think about one thing that I'm grateful for each of my children, it really makes me see them differently in the morning. And instead of me coming out and being critical about all these things that they're doing wrong, I can see, wow, nobody is like Grant. Grant is the only Grant in the whole world. You know, he's... nobody is like him, and I just love him. And oh my goodness, thank goodness for my daughters. You know, like, I can see it differently. And I think that that's important. And as we practice gratitude, that's what happens, is you kind of have a change of heart. You have that connection back to the creator, the grand know-it-all. You have that connection back with God and the universe, and you'll be able to see what he's given you. And it also, I feel like, changed my perspective on my kids in the sense that I started seeing their potential rather than where they are right now. And I started seeing who they could be rather than what they're showing me today, right?
What's happening, what's going on, is what I would call a shift. You're not changing, because you already are what you are. You're not changing that. You're discovering it. And we as human beings create beliefs about the world, and we go on autopilot. So when we're angry, we don't necessarily recognize we're angry, but when we're angry, we'll do things a certain way. And the doing is a result of where we're being. We're being angry. When you are embracing gratitude, you know, people say, well, if you're grateful, you should do this. Well, truthfully, in gratitude, that's putting it into a finite, a box. You got to do it this way to be grateful. No, if you're in gratitude, you will naturally do in the moment what goes along with that. So you are shifting from autopilot anger or autopilot fear to autopilot love. Really, there's two drivers to me, fear and love. You're shifting to love, and you don't even know you're doing it. All of a sudden, wow, I look back and go, wow, I handled that differently than I thought I would. Yeah, maybe I'm shifting my autopilot from fear and anger and reaction to basically supporting what I really want to create in life, or what I desire to create in life. I want to share something, because yesterday we were talking, about our unconscious self. I believe we have our image that we have in life, and then we have a subconscious that is our ego mind, but then underneath that is the unconscious. We are driven a lot by our subconscious mind. That is, to me, the ego that says, do this, do this, do this. I want to protect you. You want to look good as a parent. So you discipline your kids in front of other people. I did that. That was me at church. You know, my kids are unruly. Ooh, I'm going to drag them out so everybody can see what a good parent I am.
That social pressure is so real.
It wasn't for my kids' sake. It was for mine. Look at me. I'm a great father. But underneath that is what I believe you were talking about. Where it's the unconscious mind that is our true self. And it's learning to connect this person that lives in this world with that. And when you embrace gratitude, that is a much deeper level of unconscious or subconscious mind than the fear and anger. That's a surface level about survival. This is about being and thriving, so to speak.
Thank you. Kind of back to what we were talking about yesterday. So there's a diagram that I was shown of a profile of a face, and he was just looking forward, and there was a line that was forward, and there was a line below, where's basically all of our circumstances, everything that's happening to us, that's down there. And then the line above is kind of like where we want to go, what we want in life, our vision basically of our life, of who we want to be and who we feel like we're being called to be. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people, they live in this, in the lower line. They just see what's happening to them. Oh, there's a traffic jam. Man, this guy just cut me off. Oh, I can't pay my bills on time. Oh, I don't have enough money in my bank account. Like all these things that we're seeing that our circumstances are showing us is reality, right? Like this is just the way things are. But if we can have faith in knowing that we're so much more than what's happening to us, then we begin to see it like, well, what's happening for us? And we get to see that vision, that where we're going instead of where we're at. And I think gratitude is a big step in accepting what is happening, but not letting it determine who we are or who we're going to be. Or who we're becoming, right? And I loved that imagery because it was like, there's so often I get caught up in the lower vision of I just can't see where I'm going or what I'm doing or if this is even going to happen. And all I see is all these problems in front of me, all these things that are happening to me. I, you know, like my kids won't listen to me still. I don't have peace in my home like I want. I just don't feel energized or happy or motivated today. What's wrong with me? I'm obviously doing something wrong. I didn't get enough sleep last night and therefore I can't be a happy person. All these things. So I get stuck in these things that are happening around me. And I really want to shift my vision to where I'm going, what I want to be, who I want to be. Sometimes it's hard to do that. And I'm wondering, Michael, if you have any recommendations on how to just kind of keep that vision up there and shift from looking at what's happening to you to looking at where you want to go, what you want in this life.
Yeah, first of all, would mean looking at everything that's happening for me, everything. Nothing's happening to me. It's all for me. I want to know I'm powerful. Well, if I'm stuck in traffic, it's happening for me. There's a lesson in there. What is going on? What's the lesson? And for everybody, it's going to be different, but it's not happening to me.
Can I share something about that really quick? Maybe you can have, you have thoughts on it. So this is a really good example of right now. So I got my vision checked about 2 weeks ago and discovered I needed glasses. I will tell you, I can't see at night. I am terrified to drive at night because I can't see. And I got these really special glasses. They were stupid expensive. They were not normal glasses. They were like special glasses for working on computers and being able to function better with the headlights and everything like that. So they're good, but they were expensive. Okay. And I was told, yeah, they should be here. We say 2 weeks, but it's usually less than that. It's usually like even less than a week. And so I'm like, okay, sounds good. I spent, you know, a lot of money on these glasses. I should get them next week. Well, it's been 2 weeks now. And let me tell you, Michael, my lower vision is going like, why the heck
are my glasses not here yet? They're telling me they're not going to get here for another week. That's 3 weeks after my appointment. And I just spent all this money on these glasses. And this is, I'm sure people are just like, yes, this is what happens. We get caught up in this happened to me. Why is this happening to me? Why don't I have this and that? So tell me, what can I do to, instead of focusing on that, instead of that being my automatic response of, wow, I'm so mad that this is how they told me one thing and now I'm getting something else. How can I shift it to being like, why do I have to wait for my glasses? What's the lesson?
Yeah, good question. Why? Are you asking it in the resistant way or in the, well, why? Why do I get to wait for my glasses?
Get to. I like that. Why do I get to wait for my glasses?
What is there for me to learn? So if you look at this world, you know, Albert Einstein said, we can look at the world as if everything's a miracle or if nothing is a miracle. It's like with gratitude. You're either grateful or you're not. You either believe in miracles or you don't. Miracle's an unexplained element. That's why it's a miracle. We don't get it. So why? What is it? What is there for me to learn in this little incident? I have the same thing going on. I ordered something 2 weeks ago and I was getting angry. Where is it? Where is it? And, that really helps. Go out in the mailbox, it's still not there. It's like, well, I'll get more angry. So I actually wrote him a letter and on that computer, not a letter. Who does that anymore? But they said, oh, we're sorry. We misplaced your order. We found it and we'll ship it to you. It was shipped out yesterday, but it required me getting over my anger, and which doesn't do anything other than perpetuate more and more anger. It's almost like I'm looking forward to not being there so I can be more angry, and people do that. So what do we do? Well, it's shifting the question from why is this happening to me to why is this happening for me? What is there for me to learn? It's not really the glasses per se, but I believe everything is in divine order. Everything works in perfect order. It's us that are out of order because we resist the perfect. So there's a perfect lesson for you in this. And I don't know what that is. That's not for me to know. It's challenging enough for me to determine my own lessons, not to try to interpret somebody else's lessons. But so, yeah, it's being, it requires a conscious focus on what you desire. I don't want to say want. I don't want to say want. I'm saying want. Want means lack, but really a conscious focus on what you are going for, what's your vision. And it doesn't mean that you ignore things. I mean, if you're driving down the road because you want to go to Phoenix and there's a boulder in the road, you don't go, oh no, it's not there, I'm just going to ignore that. No, you're going to smash into the boulder. But when you have boulders in the road, you deal with them rather than them dealing with you. But it does require conscious focus. And this is where what your exercise in writing down gratitude is an exercise in focusing on what you're going for. Now, you could do it about love. You could do it with the word trust, acceptance, joy, whatever. I am joyful for. I mean, you could use all those because they're all in the same, well, I'll call it vibration. They're all there. But those are ways of practicing shifting your focus from the bitter and the fearful and what you don't want to the desires of your heart. And you don't even know how powerfully you are watering those seeds when you do it. Some people say, I was just writing it down. That's no big deal. Oh, no, that is far more powerful exercise than just thinking about it, because you're putting energy in motion by writing it down. So that's one tool. Another one is, there's a couple of things that tools. One is visualization, which visualizing what you desire to make it real for you. So let's take a normal average person. There's no normal people. I mean, we're all weird. They, they're struggling in life. They're, what we call struggling. And they say, I want to make $1 million. Well, to get there, it's maybe a better example would be, why is it that when people win the lottery, 5 years later, they're worse off than they were before? Well, that's because their mindset was one of, I have this much money. Now you throw $10 million on them. Their mindset hasn't changed. because their mindset is one of scarcity, likely, and poverty. So now they got $1 million and they usually spend it and then it's gone. And now they say, I'm losing my home, losing this, losing that. Why? Well, because you've given them money, but their mindset hasn't shifted. You take somebody with a mindset of abundance and affluence, take away all their money 5 years later, guess what? They're going to be back to where they were. Why? It's not about what they did or really anything like that. The doing was a result of where they were, but it's about the mindset. So you got to shift your mindset. So visualization is a great tool for that. Because if I see myself as poor and I would like something to be different, I've got to shift that mindset. So visualization is a great tool. You visualize your life the way you desire it to be, to where you can see it, feel it, taste it at a visceral, cellular, molecular level. This is what's called quantum physics, subatomic. Get it into your whole DNA that you are not rich, but abundant or affluent. Rich is just a state of money, but abundant or affluent where you can see it, feel it, taste it while you're visualizing it. Because the mind doesn't know the difference when you're feeling it like that between what you see as reality and what you're visualizing. This is a challenging little exercise for people because their little thoughts go, well, fake it till you make it. No, it's not fake it till you make it. It is be it till you make it. Feel yourself as successful. Feel yourself as powerful. Feel yourself as inspiring. Whatever you are desiring to be, feel it, even if you take 10 minutes a day to visualize it. Or you could write it down. I am powerful. I am this. I am that. To where you feel it, taste it, smell it. But you actually are it in the moment. You just haven't connected with whatever it is you material-wise you say you want. So writing down, visualizing, those are a couple of tools that I have used with people and myself with great success. Challenge of it is you gotta keep feeding yourself that. You can't just go one day and stop. You can't, but you're gonna start feeding yourself the other stuff. This is why, you know, to me too, the whole point of this is when I do training and coaching, my whole purpose is I want to support you to where you don't need me, that you're running on your own. Anyway, yeah, those are a couple of tools. There's a lot of tools, grounding, if you're earthing, you go out and you stand in your bare feet on the grass or on a natural surface for a half hour, and that is a tool to assist in shifting. But I found visualizing, now I'm going to distinguish between that and meditation. Meditation requires a greater set of focus and consciousness to go into a state of meditation, one which I'm learning, but I'm not there. So visualizing isn't really what I would call meditation. Meditation is stilling the mind. That's a big challenge for me. But visualizing, your mind is active, but you're seeing in your mind the way you desire your life to be, and you're connecting to it and where you feel it, and you get up and you go, wow, I'm there. And maybe I look around and go, there's holes in my wall. This isn't true of me, or is it? Holes in my wall. No, we don't have any furniture, whatever, but I'm still here. I'm still that person that has all that. I just get to find it. I get to connect with it.
Right. One thing that Remington's worked with another mindset coach outside of the one that I'm working with, and he talks about getting your belief and your imagination into what your vision is, your vision of your future self or whatever you want your life to be. And doing that throughout the day of just like you said, just visualizing, closing your eyes and visualizing what kind of life you want. But it has to come from a place that it's like you already are those things. You have to believe that you already are those things. It's just not manifested yet. And we talked about this in a previous episode of thinking about those things and visualizing those things is putting that order into the universe, order into, you know, God, whoever it is that you believe in. And they're saying, okay, we're working on this for you. We're going to get it to you at some point. And having faith and belief that you're going to be those things, you're going to get those things, but you have to believe it and then imagine, like, you are, it's got to be,
you're imagining you already are those things. You're imagining you already have done all of the things that you've wanted to do, right? And that's when you get the universe to start working on those things for you. That's when the order's been placed and they're like, oh yeah, but you gotta be with it, because the universe will stop and stall if you're not continually feeding that, right? And
well, you will stop and stall. The universe keeps going.
There you go. Thank you.
When will you get it? You'll get it when you're willing to receive it. Mm-hmm. It's already there. I want to add this too, when we talk about creating, everything's created. I mean, we're not creating anything. I mean, if you desire more money, it's already there. If you start printing your own, you're in trouble. So like with your husband, I'm imagining he has a different mindset than I do about money, because I grew up in a home where we can't afford it was the mantra. Almost, you know, we want something, we can't afford it, we can't have it. No, my parents grew up in the Depression and they brought that all with them. But I'm guessing, and I don't know, but Remington has a different mindset. So if I try to duplicate what he does, I'm going to have to go through the same learning curve he did. See, what we don't see the learning curve people go through to get where they are. When I was training, people say, I want to do what you do. Well, maybe. It was the most grueling experience of my life to learn it. I mean, it was one where I would cry and I don't know if I can do this. And then I would go inside and like, well, okay, your options are you can dig deeper and find out who you are, or you can quit. And you measure those two and it's like, no, I don't get quitting. So I'm going to dig deeper. Well, everybody goes through that. Everybody hits a wall. Everybody hits a place where they're like, I don't know if I can do that. What pushes them through is how connected they are to their vision. Nothing else, nothing else. Being connected to that vision, trusting the vision, having faith. And it's not knowing, because you don't know because you haven't been there, but having that faith to push through, like, I wanna be this trainer. I don't know if I can do it. Well, either you're gonna push through and find out, or you're gonna quit. Well, if I was coming from my ego space, I would have quit because it's too hard and I could justify it. But something inside said, no, keep going. But why? Because I was connected to it. It's something I fed and I fed for years to get there. And that's what pushed me through. So by visualizing, by writing it down, by being it, by speaking as if, not to be fake, because I hate to tell you this, universe knows when we're fake, but because you really get it, that's how you push through. Because you're going to hit a challenge. You're going to hit a wall. If you don't, then you're not dreaming big enough, to be honest with you.
I wanted to touch on two things. The first one was when you say fake it till you make it. So I will tell you, when I first started this journey, that's what I did. Because I didn't believe a lot of the things that I was saying about me, but I wanted to believe them. So I think there's that. It's like, if you have the desire to believe something, start there and build on
that. And it's not fake. See, it's not fake though. That's real.
It is. But I'll give you an example. So one thing that I do believe in is affirmations. I think affirmations are so powerful. And they're another daily ritual for me that especially when I'm feeling really down, I'm just writing constantly all of the affirmations and I'm listening to myself say these things about my life or whatever it is. And there was, when I first started this journey, I would say things like, I am beautiful, I am confident, I am smart. I would write all these things down because I'll tell you, I didn't believe them. I did not believe them. I was like, that's not me. I'm not any of those things. That's what I would tell myself all the time. But my coach was like, you need to start writing these things down until you believe them. He's like, you need to say them to yourself over and over again until you believe them, because I wanted to believe them. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to love myself, and it took several months for me to get to the point where I actually did believe them. And that was me doing it every single day, telling me the same things. And finally I was like, yeah, I am smart. I am beautiful. I am powerful. You know, all these things. And there are days still that I go through and I'm like, I don't think that about myself, but the affirmations are like, I'm doing that because I want to believe those things. So, and I guess, you know, that's real, but we don't mean like that to me, I felt fake when I was doing that. I did, because I didn't believe those things, but I wanted to. And that's the seed that starts.
Let me tell you what I believe was going on. You were tapping into something way down inside that you had not embraced yet, but it was there in you. So that's why I say it wasn't fake. If we want to be rich because I want to have more money than the guy next door and it's all ego, that's fake. So you're not faking it, like, you know, I mean, there's con artists, you know, that I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And they know they're not, but you were tapping into something that inside of you was saying, this is there for you. And basically have said that, you know, you wanted to believe it. You somewhere inside of you, you felt it. Like when I was learning to be a trainer, I'd been doing accounting and I would see myself. I always saw myself inspiring people. I thought, well, what would I do? I would be, at the time, I would call it a motivational speaker. And I thought, well, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm doing accounting. But that sense did not go away. It just kept coming and gnawing at me and gnawing at me. So when the opportunity to grab that was there, I mean, I wanted it. I didn't necessarily believe I could have it. But I was like, that's what I've been feeling to go for. So in saying fake it till you make it is different than when you have a gut, woman's intuition, or something inside of you that gnaws at you and your little ego says you can't do that, you can't be that, but you're turning and listening to that deeper, more powerful, true element of yourself. So it's not fake. It's real. You're just tapping into it. So when I say it's not faking it till you make it, there's something at some point, if it's just fake, you'll quit.
It's kind of going into your essence, the more of your essence and revealing your essence. And that's where that desire comes from, rather than the outside world, what the outside sees.
So like years ago, I wanted to be a lawyer and I was going through all the process to become a lawyer, taking the LSAT. Got accepted to a small little unaccredited law school in California. But when it came time to get there, I was talking to my friends and they're saying, I asked them, what's it like to be a lawyer? And they said, do you like homework? I'm like, no. Well, what was my real reason for going to be a lawyer? So I could say I'm a lawyer and people go, wow, he's impressive. That was it. That's not going to push me through the challenges. The moment I would get into law school and all of a sudden it's challenging and there's all this homework, because it is basically 18 hours a day of study. Coming from my ego of I want to look like somebody, I want to impress people, I'm quitting. I'm not going to push through. So that wanting to be a lawyer was fake. It was for an image. I wanted to be an image. If you want money so people will look at you and say, oh, wow, or you want to use it to control, that's fake. If you want peace, you know, I don't know how you could fake that. But I mean, if you truly want peace, that's different than wanting money. But I mean, I know if it's coming from a place of I want to, it's for others to look at me, that's fake. That's fake. But when it's coming from inside of you, then it's real and you're not faking it. You're just affirming what's there. You just haven't totally tapped into it. So you may not believe it. Sure. This is deeper than I have confidence in me. This is about trusting and faith. That's different than confidence. Now, what is confidence? What's the first three letters of confidence? Our C-O-M. So maybe there's something to that. A confident person isn't necessarily somebody who trusts themselves. Do what they do so others will look at them and say, wow, that person's really confident, in my experience. That's not quite the same as trust. They don't trust themselves, so they put on an image of confidence.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think there's a difference between confidence and conceit.
They both start with C-O-M.
They both start with the same. But conceit, I think, is an outside thing. But confidence, I believe, is being sure of yourself, trusting yourself. That's how I view confidence. And maybe it's just how we see the word is different. But when I think of I want to be confident, I want to trust myself. I want to believe that I'm not affected by what other people see or think of me because I know who I am. That's that's confidence to me. But I wanted to make one more point. You mentioned everybody going through that moment of, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I want to share a visual, again, that was given to me by another mentor, that it was, think of a spiral, like the spiral of a shell of a snail. And when we get this idea and we have this paradigm shift of like, oh my gosh, I'm so powerful and that's where I want to go. We see we're starting in the center of the shell and you see the swirl up above you. That's where you want to go. That's the vision that you see. If that's who I want to be. That's what I want to do. All that stuff. Okay. And you just like, you feel great and on fire. The next couple weeks or so, you're just like totally motivated to get up there. And then something happens and you do what's called the slide. You go down on the swirl. You go down. You have to go down and you go on the slide and you have two choices in front of you. You have the option to go back to the center of where you started and say, I'm not going to get there. Or you can say, I see what I wanted. I see what I wanted and I'm going to get it. And you start just hanging on with faith. And you hang on with faith and belief that you're going to get those things. And that's all you do. If that's all you can bank on is just your belief that you're going to have those things, you'll start climbing that swirl. You'll start coming out of that slide. You'll climb that swirl and you'll start and you'll find that you get to that top. So they categorize it as not knowing what you don't know. And then you get to the slide and then you know that you don't know a lot. And that's hard. Unconscious incompetence and then conscious incompetence is what it is. So you realize that you really don't know anything. And then you get to this point where you start to be consciously competent. And so you start being like, oh yeah, I can do this. Yes. And then you get to the top where it starts to become unconscious competence, where you're doing it without even thinking. You're doing whatever it is that you wanted to do. And you're not even thinking about the fact that you can do those things now. You just do them. You are them. You be them, right? And then you start the process over and you start the swirl over. I loved that visualization. I loved the fact that you got to struggle before you get to the top. And you have a choice when you're in the thick of it, in the struggle of your vision, your goal, to go back to where you are or to become something bigger, something greater than you were before. And I love that. So I just wanted to share that. Well, just our, you know, sign off, follow us on social media, subscribe if you aren't already. We love to hear feedback. If you guys have questions or a topic that you guys want to hear us talk about, just send it to us through our social media. And we thank you for joining us and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.